Thank you, Pastor Bass, and praise the Lord, everyone. The Lord. Amen. Kind of feel like we all came to church to have church today. Amen. And we have grown to love Brother and Sister Bass over the years. Of course, you all know they have made several trips to Canada. And whenever Brother Bass is announced, it doesn't matter if it's 300 miles away. Folks in our church say, we got to make time to go to that meeting. And he may not know this, but he has helped my church every time he has stood in a pulpit in Canada and preached. This man has, through the ministry and the anointing of the Spirit, talked directly to different situations and had no idea whatsoever, amen, of what was taking place. And I watched God actually rescue an entire family. Amen. I mean, rescue an entire family in one meeting alone. And we're grateful for the ministry of Brother Bass. It goes back many, many years. In fact, I guess he came in to our lives just shortly after my pastor was killed. And I guess about as close to my pastor as you're ever going to find is this man right here. And we're certainly appreciative for what God has done, filled up the vacancy and the void that was there. And, of course, Elder Bass is no stranger to anybody. Amen. And he's been with us in Prince Edward Island. And guess what? We have never had hoodlums show up at our door and trouble our neighborhood. And he said to me the night before we pulled out, now, Elder, he said, do you have any problem with folks disturbing things around here? Never did. But as sure as I pulled out of town, the next night they got after him. Bunch of drunks got turned loose up there and got into my dooryard and pounded on the house. I'll just tell you what, this man's nothing to mess with. He might be small, but he's nothing to mess with. They didn't stay long. And I guarantee they didn't want to come back after my brother-in-law furnished him with something. But we too have enjoyed SCORE 2006. Brother Bass, it's not only a word for your local church, but there was a word for every church represented here. And we certainly have felt renewed, strengthened, encouraged in what God has been trying to tell the church. And I never want to have a deaf ear that I can't hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And I know we're living in perilous times, and we're living in times when, I don't know what it's like down here, but I know sometimes in our area, amen, you can get some of these quacks coming through that are out there, you know, and they're saying, yea, I say unto thee, when the Lord hasn't said it. Amen. But thank God for clear direction. Thank God for a clear note, a certain sound. Amen. And if the trumpet isn't put in the proper place, put to the proper lips, it will give an uncertain sound. Amen. Hallelujah. But you get the trumpet in the right hands. Hallelujah. Get the trumpet in the right hands. There will be a clear note, and there will be a certain sound. Amen. Amen. I was thinking the past several days, if ever there's a time, and I just returned from Brazil in October, I guess when we were talking with Brother Lambeth over there, and then even here in this conference, the pressure that is there, and as well as here in the homeland. And it lets me know one thing, that Jesus is getting ready to come. Jesus is getting ready to come. He is on the verge of his coming for a church that hath made herself ready. That hath made herself ready. Amen. Some folks say, well, you know, all you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's all there is to salvation. The church hath made herself ready. Come on. I have never seen a bride yet that just confessed and believed in her bridegroom and walked down the aisle.
right.
They're fussing over the nitpicky things. The little, seemingly insignificant details. The bride gets very particular about those things because that's the hour of her presentation to her bridegroom. Oh, hallelujah. Let me say today, if in the natural, the bride is not going to be satisfied with just a little piece of fuzz hanging from that white wedding dress. Mama, how does this look? She turns to her maid of honor. How's this look, darling? Is that off of there? Because when somebody says, you can have her, and she takes Prince Charming by the arm and takes him by the hand and pledges her vow of commitment to him, she wants to appear to him to be the best thing that any man could ever desire. She don't want him to have the impression that she's a sloppy housekeeper. She don't want him to have the impression that she doesn't know how to take care of the laundry and look after a few things. But she wants him to have utmost confidence in her that she is capable of being the queen of the castle. And I'm telling you what today, the Church of Jesus Christ is the bride. He is the bridegroom. And let me just tell you today, he's fussy on who's going to be his bride. Well, hallelujah. He is fussy on who his bride's going to be. And he's not going to just pick up something that's running around on him. I said he's not just going to pick up something that's running around on him. Loves him when they're in the house of God. When they know there's a church appointment, they'll love him when they're there. But when they walk outside the doors, they got a love for the world. Well, hallelujah, Jesus. Man, oh man, oh man, I'm feeling it here today. I don't know what you're fighting down here, but I know what I'm fighting in Canada. They want to come to church and patty cake for Jesus and run around all week and commit fornication. I'm just telling you what today, amen, God ain't coming back for that kind of a bride. He's not coming back for a two-timer. He's not coming back for a flirt. He's not coming back for a harlot. He's coming back for a church that hath made herself ready. Amen. That's not prostituting the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. He's coming back for a church that loves him. That's willing to keep themselves separated from the world. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And I'll tell you what the pressure of the hour is when you start confronting those kind of spirits. Every kind of other spirit tries to rise up, amen, and draw the attention off of where the focus is. Amen. I told our congregation several weeks ago, some of my folks are here, and if you think I'm not telling you the truth, you just ask them after church. I told them several weeks ago, I said, I've declared war on sin. And if you're on the Lord's side, come across the line. If you're not on his side, there's only one place for you to hit. That's either the altar or the back door. And I don't generally take that approach, but I'm telling you what, when there's a rampant spirit of fornication and somebody going out, amen, and running amongst the youth group.
Come on now. Come on now.
And telling pure, clean young folks the kind of fun they're having out there. I'm going to tell you what, that turns my blood red. And I will hit the pulpit screaming. You say, why? Because God hates a fornicating spirit. He said, don't let it be once named among you. You're given over to that kind of thing. I'm telling you what, you need a good praying through. And I don't mean just getting up there and talking in tongues and saying, see me tie my tie. You need to pray through. And praying through over that kind of a thing is not something that happens in 15 minutes. Well, hallelujah. It's something, amen, that takes commitment. It takes dedication. It takes consecration. It takes a dying out to the desires and the lusts of the flesh, that the will of the Father might be fulfilled in us through the work of the Spirit. Paul said, for the law of the Spirit of life hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Well, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My God, my God, my God. Help Jesus. You know, you might think you're fooling the pastor, and you might think you're fooling the preacher, and you might think you're fooling the ministry. You haven't fooled nobody but yourself. As Pastor Bass has said today, I feel a liberty here to preach, and I don't know how where I'll go or how long I'll be, but I'm just telling you what. It's here. There's some things God loves, and there's some things God hates. And if you're in a walking relationship with Him, you will love what He loves. And you'll hate. I said you'll hate what He hates. You know, pastor gets to dealing with some of those things. I've seen this coming for a number of years in the situation I'm dealing with right now. Seen it coming for a long time. Didn't matter how you tried to help the situation, you always had a squawking mama. I'm just telling you what, you might be the mother and you might be the father, but I'm going to tell you what, when it comes to setting some direction, if you can't do it, for God's sake, get out of the way and let the pulpit do it. Just little things. Show up to school. Never did have their work done. So you send a few detentions home. In between the kids signing them. And them having whatever else spilt all over them. And come back. Who signed that detention? I had a policy in my school that if the father was home, the father was to sign the detention. I'm going to tell you what, Mama. God did not put the reins of authority in your hands. Dear Lord, it would come back, sign 15 ways for Sunday every time. And I knew. Trying to kid? Who are they trying to fool? We had a dress code. Uniform. They would show up 4 out of 5 days out of it. Because Mama didn't have time to get the wash done. Somebody got some desperate problems. And so then some of these other things start coming around. Messing around. Spirits. I made it very clear. Declared it flat-footed. That spirit of fornication isn't welcome inside the doors of this church. You got your mess? Clean it up the best way you know how, but it ain't coming in here. Just going to tell you what. You allow that 6 months of sitting comfortable. And another 6 months time, every one of your youth group will be polluted. Every one. Come have my fling. Come do this. Come do that. Thank God I had some parents that had sense enough, amen, that looked at their kids in the white of the eye and they said, as far as you going anywhere with them folks or having any fellowship whatsoever, it's over.
All right.
Well, glory to God. I don't know if I'm meddling or what here, Pastor, but I'm just telling you what. If you think I'm empty-handed for a message today, I'm not. But you can't flirt with the world. I said, you can't flirt with the world. Keep one hand in the world's hand and try to keep the other one in Jesus' hand, because somebody's going to let go. And I can tell you right now, if your hand's in the world's hand, Jesus is going to let go.
Let go. That's right. That's right.
For what fellowship hath light with darkness?
Come on. Come on.
What concord hath Christ with Belial?
That's right. That's right.
Amen. Jesus Christ ain't having fellowship with Lucifer today.
Amen. Come on. Amen.
He gave him the boot. Isaiah said, I saw him fall from heaven. There's lightning. I mean, I'm telling you, when God gets upset, friend, there'll be some streaks. We got this little thing going up our way. We can't find somebody in the church. We'll go out and witness to them. And we'll bring them in. We're going to get them saved. And then we're going to have our little dating deal. I don't know about you. But it's a must in our congregation. If anybody comes in, they must, for 1 year, after they have repented of their sins, been water baptized in Jesus' name, and received the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues, 1 solid year of proving themselves that they mean business to live for God before they ever have the opportunity to go dating. I just told him, I said, and I'm going to give you a little, I just told him here a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, in fact. I said, in fact, if you think if I'm messing around, if they haven't proved themselves to be faithful, that just goes from 1 to 2.
All right.
You say, why? Because we've had enough close brushes.
Come on.
With a couple of dudes coming in, thinking they were God's gift to women. I got a whole church full of girls. The only 2 young people that's not married in my church that are men are right back there today. And I'm not out here hanging a shingle for them to get somebody either. But I must have 20 or 25 young ladies from the age of 15 and up. And some of these dudes started coming in. Having their little spells. But I seen some things I wasn't too comfortable with. Next thing you know, buddy's in the church about 6 months and he's wanting to start flirting around with some of these young ladies. Say, what'd you do, Pastor? I just pulled a young people's meeting. And I told it like it was. He sat there and cried and said, I never heard anything like this before. And I said, well, no, you haven't. But I said, you're going to hang around here. This is the way it's going to be. And the rest of the story is pretty scary. But thank God there was a pastor that was willing to put his foot down and draw a line. Duty's not with us today. But he almost took one of our young girls. Not 1, 2 or 3. I'm telling you what, today you may never understand what your pastor is doing when he hits that pulpit fiery-eyed and snorting at the devil. But if you've got a lick of sense between your ears, would you please come to your feet and say, come on, Pastor, preach.
Hallelujah!
God set that man on the wall. He didn't set him down in the street. He didn't put him on Main Street. He didn't put him on the corner. He set him on the wall. He gave him a place where he could see afar off what was coming. You better thank God that there's a man, amen, that's in tune with God, in tune with the Spirit, and can see the difference between light and darkness. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Seems like, Elder, this thing is, this meeting is running a trend.
Yes.
Score 2006 might have been officially ended Friday night, but it's still here.
All
right. So this case where, you know, they turn around and we're going to get him in the church. We're going to get him saved. We're going to get him living for God. You know what? One of them showed up in church just a few weeks ago, sitting on the back seat on Sunday morning. After all this fornicating around. And I was in my office. Didn't even know he was out there. I had totally intended to go a totally different direction. I mean, I'd been whipping the devil out of that mess for the last 6-8 weeks, and I was tired of it. And I was sitting there at my desk talking to the Lord about an hour before service, and I'm telling you, as sure as I'm sitting here, God gave me a fiery rebuke for that mess. And I thought, well, Lord, haven't they got the message? He said, no, you get out there and you hit it again. When I stepped out, there was one of her many sitting in the back seat. And I said to myself, oh God, I should be able to reach for his soul. But I can't because of that fornicating devil. Fornicating spirit has got to be slain before there can ever be birth. Well, hallelujah. Did you ever see a gynecologist or an obstetrician, amen, just tell mama, go ahead and deliver the baby in the midst of a whole bunch of infection and all the rest of that mess? No, you know what that doctor's going to do? He's going to try and get that mess under control and cleaned up before the baby arrives, or the baby's going to be affected by what it's, amen, been surrounded by.
Amen.
So I just did only what I knew I could do through the help of God and let the Holy Ghost do the rest. And I'm just going to tell you what today. If you think that you can run around and sleep around and play around, ride back seats and serve God. And she came to church that morning. Dear God, have mercy. And I don't like making situations public examples, but I'm just telling you what, I feel it's been around here too. That's part of the reason you've been fighting some things. Carrying on with her foolishness. And then had the audacity to sit on the front row. And patty cake for Jesus. Well, we were singing on Sunday morning. And then I looked down and she tried to ring. You know what my Bible said? It says, lift up holy hands.
Holy hands.
Hands that are out petting. Hands that are out messing around. Hands that are working the work of iniquity are not holy hands. How can you clap your hands unto the Lord when you've been out fornicating on Friday night, on Saturday night, and then have the audacity to walk into the holy sanctuary of the Almighty and set your fanny down on a pew and try to profess to be something? Like somebody didn't get the message here through the SCORE conference, and God's wanting them to get it loud and clear here again today. You can't be a two-timer on Jesus Christ and be in the line of His bride. If Almighty God provided Himself an incarnate Christ that went to Calvary and died the death, that the relationship between him and a fornicating lover called Jew, amen, could be severed so he could engraft the Gentile bride into this thing. Don't you think for one minute, baby, he's going to turn around and take that engrafted vine and put it back and say, you can do whatever you want. The love of God's going to cover it all. There's some things God loves and there's some things God hates. And I want to love what he loves. I want to hate what he hates. The Apostle Paul said, know ye not that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
It's the only work of the flesh or sin in the Bible that it says, let it not be once named among us. I don't know about you elders, but I'm going to tell you what. In the last 4 or 5 years, I have found myself having to deal with some things publicly in the pulpit I never thought to God we'd ever have to touch. It's the last days. We're in perilous times. Amen. And the Bible said, because iniquity shall abound. That's the way they live out there. Amen. They have a different man every night of the week. Homes are busted up. There's no such thing now as a functional home as far as society's concerned. Amen. We'll pair up for a little while. We'll shack up for a little while. Amen. We'll live our little lifestyle and bless God. Don't dare let a preacher tell me that I've got to live, amen, a committed life. Amen. A common law relationship's fine enough for me. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ ain't taking a common law bride. He's taking a committed bride. He's taking a dedicated bride. He's taking one that's single-minded.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hey. You think shacking up's okay? Let me tell you, the Word of God says it isn't.
Amen.
Well, she's been my live-in for the last 2 years. But I want to get right with God. Well, there's only one way to get right with God.
Amen.
Right.
You got to unshack. If you want to find him in repentance, all your shedding of your tears and whatever is going to get you nowhere until you do something about it. For repentance is dying out.
Yes, it is.
to those dead works. That we might serve the living God. Well, glory. You know, I don't know what in the world ever gets in folks' minds, how they try to worm and figure this all out, how they can get around situations. There's only one way to get the favor and touch of God in your life, and that's come clean. Elder, when you started this work here, I guarantee you preached the message of repentance. And conviction would hit folks, and they'd find an altar. And they'd get to bawling and squalling over some matters in their life that they knew were wrong between them and God. When it came time to be water baptized in Jesus' name, and if the pastor was aware of a situation and he asked them a question point blank, amen, and that they didn't know what to do, he gave them direction what to do. And if they genuinely repented, they said, not a problem, pastor. We'll see to it that that's taken care of.
Yes. Amen.
But you know what they do nowadays? Preach it! You got no business messing in my personal life. Oh, don't get quiet on me. They'll get in the pastor's wife's face. And they'll take a strip off of her up one side and down the other. Because they know that she's backing the pastor. And let me just tell you something. Every good man of God has got a good pastor's wife behind him. That's praying when hubby is fighting the battles. She's in behind with some prayer. Oh, yeah. She's doing battle in the spirit. While the man of God's out there fully equipped with the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. He may be drawing some lines in the sand. Amen. And there may be some blood that's happening to be spilled. But there's a pastor's wife that's praying and seeking the face of God. But let me tell you what the devil does. Some of these crazy kooks that's trying to perpetrate all this foolishness of the man of God's trying to get under control. The next thing they do, they try to take the attention off themselves and put it on the pastor's wife. Or the pastor's family. They get nitpicking at this and at that. Because, you know, the spotlight has been shining pretty bright. And so they get the telephone going. He'll never know. I'm just telling you what today. Some of you better be careful because I might come down and put my hand right on you. You know what? I just don't understand that, pastor. Should be a little more love. Let me ask you a question today. If you had a newborn baby in the crib and walked into that room and saw a python laying there in the crib with it, would you walk up to that python and say, oh, poor, pretty little thing, you're so pretty? Just don't bite my baby, and you'll have a good place to sleep. I don't know of any good mother that wouldn't grab that baby out of that crib and run for their lives.
Right. That's the truth.
And call 911 for backup.
Amen. Yes.
Elder Bass, I feel to tell you 911's been on the scene this week. This thing is not just something that you've been playing with and think that it's a personality clash or conflict. Oh, hallelujah. I know I haven't even read a text yet, but I'm going to tell you what. I'll give you the title of my message if I do get to it. It's called To Excellence. get playing around and get messing around with a lot of things and toying around in some areas that you no business, you haven't even got the right to be in there.
All right.
Passing all kinds of caustic remarks and making all kinds of accusations and statements of such like. And I'm just telling you what today, don't you ever think for one moment that it got by God.
That's the truth.
And just because judgment against an evil work has not been executed speedily, the hearts of the sons of men are set to do evil continually. But I've come to remind you today, you can't lift up your hands against an anointed ministry, as Brother Lambeth preached the other night. You can't lift up your hands against the anointed of the Lord and stand back guiltless.
All right. Amen. Amen. That's the truth.
You can't place your tongue on them for a moment. Because things they speak under the anointing, amen, may be very clear, very pointed. Because you see, when the anointing rests on them, it is not their character then that is shining through. It is the character of the one that is anointing. Don't play with the anointed. Touch not mine anointed. Do my prophets no harm. And Brother Bass, I have no problem saying that you are a man of God.
Amen.
This man's ministry and the works that have followed it. If you haven't seen it here in this local congregation, let me tell you what, it's been very visible in Canada. The ministry of our good elder here. Brother Bass, I pray God keeps you alive and sharp and healthy till the day he comes. We need elders among us. You may not be, amen, pulling the load every day behind the pulpit, but you're pulling a load that only elders can pull. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said the tongue is a little member. But when it gets set on fire, friend, it's set on fire of hell. Church, remember this today. Hell hates these two men up here. Hell hates them. And hell knows who you are. Hell hates the apostolic ministry because it's the only ministry in the land today that's putting out a clear note and a certain sound. Have we become so calloused? We just continually come back and forth to church, spend the money for the gas, the wear and tear on the vehicle, and the only reason we're there is because pastor announced we're having service at such and such a time, a certain day. We just come to church today because it's Sunday. Can I tell you, Church of Ocala today, Life Tabernacle, this is a divine meeting. It's a divine appointment. This church has had a divine appointment all week this week. And I said to Pastor Bass last night on the phone, I said, Brother Bass, I just don't feel like I could even follow these men that have preached all week long. I don't feel capable. But I'm telling you, from the moment my feet hit this board right here, I felt something totally different than what I felt on that seat right there. I have a word from the Lord for somebody today. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You cannot turn back the law of the harvest. There will come a time. There will come a time when folks will come and say, Pastor, when they've cut you up for 10 years and hashed you across the table and fed their kids more than potatoes and gravy. And then they see them going. And they see them backsliding. They see them leaving their walk with God. And the man of God still preaching and still reaching in spite of their inconsistencies. Then come and shake the pastor's hand and say, Preacher, preach! You know what they should have been doing 10 years ago? They should have been coming and shaking the preacher's hand and saying, Pastor, preach!
Amen.
Preach! Preach! The only thing that's going to save you, it's not generational ethics. It's not generational genealogies that's going to save you. I'm going to tell you what it takes in every generation to save that generation. God chose through the foolishness of preaching. God chose through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You may not have liked the choice that God placed on this elder's heart when he felt it was time to step back. And you may not have enjoyed or liked the fact that the anointing was here.
All right.
But that was not your call. God made the decision. God made the decision. I said, God made the decision. God made the choice. God chose through the foolishness of preaching. And I can tell you today, if you tell me for one moment there hasn't been preaching across this pulpit in the last 21 years, I'll look you in the eye and say, you're a barefaced liar. God made the choice. God poured out the anointing. God put the responsibility on his shoulders. And I don't care if you're Miriam in the camp. All Miriam did was squawk about who Moses married. She just didn't like the sister-in-law. Probably because of some personality clash. And so she began to squawk about who Moses married. Wasn't, yeah, really a lot of her business. She wasn't the one who was going to have to win the tent flap with him. She wasn't the one who was going to have to eat her cooking. Or listen to her whines and everything else. Moses was the one who was going to have to put up with what he married. The Bible said, because she lifted up her voice, because she opened her mouth against the God-called anointed leadership, leprosy, come on her. Leprosy, you know, is a type of sin. Leprosy came all over her. And guess what? It was Moses' business then to judge righteously. God said to Moses, you put her outside the camp for 7 days. Sever lines of communication and relationship. Let her stay outside the camp for 7 days. And then bring her back and examine her again. I guarantee she learned her lesson and learned it well. But understand this today. She was the worship leader.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right.
At the Red Sea. My position, Pastor. Let me tell you something today. None of us have position except it be given by God. But remember this today. Position never, never steps into an area to question the man of God. Your position only has the authority of its office or position because of the authority that's invested right here. Well, I'm the Sunday school superintendent. I'm this, I'm that, I'm something else. It doesn't matter what you are. Whether you agree wholeheartedly or do not agree, the final decision and the responsibility is going to rest on the shoulders. Right there. Your position is a result of you being called to be a laborer together. Catch the vision, the spirit of the man of God. See what's trying to happen. I'm going to tell you what. I believe God's wanting to give Ocala a mighty revival and a mighty move of God. I feel it. I feel it. It's in the Holy Ghost here today. God's wanting to give Ocala a mighty move of God. He's wanting to give you a revival. But church, hear me today. If new babes are going to be born and be healthy, because the first thing the new babes do, they look to the leadership. They look to, amen, the leadership of the church. They look to the examples that are around them. And if there's an infectious matter, amen, that's laying dormant, that's stagnant. If there's an abscess that needs to be lanced spiritually, amen, I'm telling you what today, God's interested enough to put the lance in the hands of a man of God and say, take him to the spiritual theater of surgery, amen, and lance that thing so my church can have what I want it to have. I'm going to tell you what I sense in the Holy Ghost today. I sense that the Holy Ghost has zeroed in on some things around here today. Amen. And allowed the spiritual lance of the Holy Ghost to touch, amen, those infectious needs and heads of abscesses that have been laying and festering and scraping and causing all kinds of irritabilities and whatever. God's allowed it to be lanced through the word and the power of the Holy Ghost. And somebody needs to act. I promise you today there is a balm in Gilead. I said there is a balm in Gilead. There is healing for your situation. There is deliverance for your circumstances. There is victory. But you got to learn to walk in obedience.
Hallelujah.
Oh God. Oh God. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion.